Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's February the 26th. This is Chivafial Block. This sugya is, do clothes really make the man? A discussion of Lo Yolbash.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Chip Off the Old Block, the first of this program. Thank you to the Yungolite, that's Rabbi Zemworth and Rabbi Stewart and Rabbi Grossman, and especially Rabbi Yosef Alt, who spearheaded making this wonderful program. Yashar Koach. Thank you as well to the Schloss family who sponsored all of the refreshments, and it is in memory of Edward Keston, that's the uncle of Evie Resnick and Lydia Schloss, and it's the occasion of his first yard site. May all the learning that was done today and is still being done be in Ilui Neshama for him.
Amen.
I'm just going to take a few minutes now to kind of wrap things up and try to get something down to a halacha lemaisa and maybe work out some of the details that might still be outstanding in people's minds. We only have a few minutes. We said 10:45. We're going to keep to that blinetter, but we want to try to at least work things through a little bit. So as you saw in the psukim, you saw that the Torah says a man cannot wear women's clothing, a woman can't wear men's clothing, and we saw that that's expanded to things beyond clothing as well. We talked about dyeing hair. You have the cases that were presented in your packet. So let's start with a question, which is that what is a case that no matter what way you learn in the Gemara, no matter what way you learn in the Shulchan Aruch, what is a case that everybody agrees is usur? That everybody agrees it's usur, it's even usur from the Torah, one would get malchus, one would get lashes for doing it. What is the one thing that is undisputedly usur to do when it comes to wearing each other's clothing? Okay, for an immoral purpose. Very good. If a man wears a woman's clothing or a woman wears a man's clothing for an immoral purpose, that means a man wears women's clothing to go and be with the women, or a woman wears man's clothing to go and be with the men, which usually means that they are totally disguised, then that everybody agrees is an isser from the Torah, and one would get malchus, one would get lashes for doing that without question. There are no exceptions to that rule other than pikuach nefesh, other than life and death. But if it's not a life and death situation, like the person needs to save their lives and dresses up in a way to hide their identity. But if it wasn't that, there would be no way to permit such an act for a man to dress up completely like a woman in order to do something immoral to be amongst women, or for a woman to dress up like a man in order to do something immoral to be amongst men. That, there is no question, is us, or there's no ifs, ands, or any way around that one.
So, I mean, if he's doing it for pikuach nefesh, then it's not for a moral purpose.
Yeah, so pikuach nefesh is a different discussion.
No, right. But I mean,
immoral. Okay, you're pointing out that's not even immoral. Okay, good. Okay, so that is undisputed. But now, when you move beyond that, and you start to get into different details of why the person is doing it and what exactly they're doing, that's when you're going to end up with a machlokas. And when you have a machlokas, of course, then you have room to permit different things. Now, the first issue that you have to talk about in terms of situations where a person may permit it is going to be when the intent is for another reason. So we saw at least one case over here in the source sheets. We had one case that would be for a different reason, would be a man wants to look younger in order to be able to get a better job or be able to preserve his job. So there, even though dyeing one's hair to look younger is considered to be something that women do, nevertheless, there may be room around that when it is for the purpose of trying to keep a job or trying to get a job, perhaps. We have dressing up on Purim, where the purpose is not in order to do something immoral, but it is in order to dress up for Purim, to look different. And it's just an interesting and funny way to look different. So maybe there's room to be makel, to be lenient in that situation. So here's when we're going to get into differences of opinion. And I'm going to present to you three opinions for the halacha lamaisa. We have the most stringent opinion I'm going to present is going to be the Rambam based on the Beis Yosef's interpretation. That's one. We'll have kind of a middle ground, which is the Bach, which is quoted by the Taz. And then we'll have the most lenient opinion, which is the Marimins, which in your source packets is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, and also by the Ramah, and that'll be the most lenient opinion. And you have to hear the nuances between these three in order to understand how it comes out for the halacha lamaisa. To me, the most relevant questions that come up are, of course, Purim, dyeing one's hair comes up. Another very significant question is when they have plays and the girls have to portray a man, or if it's a men's play and the men have to portray a woman, so then can the genders wear each other's clothing in order to portray whatever character they're trying to portray in a play? That's another situation that comes up regularly in this community. So those are the big issues, but we'll see how it comes out with these three opinions. So let's take first the most stringent opinion. We'll take the Beis Yosef's interpretation of the Rambam. The Beis Yosef interprets the Rambam as follows. Any wearing of any garment behavior that is doing something that is like the opposite gender, where it's an exclusive act by the opposite gender, if it is visible, then it is prohibited and there's no way around it. It's just as prohibited as doing an immoral act. If it's noticeable, it would be prohibited and there really is no way around it. So that would mean that even to put on one garment of the opposite gender, even if it's not for an immoral purpose, would be prohibited. The case that the Rambam says is permitted if you're not doing it for an immoral purpose is something which is not noticeable, like shaving hair, like shaving the underarm, something like that, which is not noticeable because it's underneath the person's body, it's not seen, it's under the clothing. That's the kind of thing where the Rambam will talk to you about, well, why are you doing it? Are you doing it to be like a woman, or are you doing it for another purpose? Perhaps the reason is because it's you have some skin irritation, it's bothering you, or whatever it is. When I was younger, I had friends who were avid bikers. Friends of mine who were avid bikers, and they would shave the hair on their legs because of biking. I wasn't sure what the reason was. I was a kid at the time. I wasn't sure. I think, maybe someone here knows, I think the reason is that when they fall and hurt themselves, it doesn't infect the wound. Somebody told me this was wind resistance. I didn't really understand why, but apparently bikers do that. Nobody knows why. Okay. Huh? Is it really wind resistance? Okay.
It makes them feel
faster. So shaving one's legs, you would think that that's something a woman does and not a man. And that's questionable whether you would, according to the Rambam, we would call that something on the outside that's visible. If a person's wearing shorts, it's obviously visible. Or do we say, since it's generally under a person's clothing, that's called on the inside? And if it's not being done for an immoral purpose, the Rambam would say, if it's not a visible thing, then it'll be permitted. So, like, for instance, shaving the underarm, if there is if there's a skin irritation or something like that. That would be the Rambam. But according to the Rambam, any other way of dressing like a woman or a woman dressing like a man, even if it's only one garment and it's noticeable, even though you're not doing it to look like the other gender, that's not your purpose, it would still be prohibited, according to the Rambam. That's the most stringent opinion. Middle ground is going to be the Bach, which is cited by the Taz over here in your packet. And the Bach says as follows. He says, if you're not doing it for an immoral purpose, and, this is important, and it's obvious that you really are a man. Right? You're not tricking anybody into thinking you're really a woman. It's obvious you're a man. And the reason why you're putting on this garment, one garment or two garments, whatever it is not for an immoral purpose, then it would be okay. But there's one more caveat in the Bach, and that is, you're not doing it to look like a woman. That's very, very important. You're putting on a garment, and you're doing it, everybody can see you're a man, but you're putting on one garment of a woman. The reason why you're doing it is not to look like a woman, and you're not doing it for an immoral reason. Here's a great example. You have a woman who's outside and she's cold. So you take a man's jacket, a jacket that's obviously a man's jacket, and she wants to put it on in order to stay warm. Now, that's not for an immoral purpose. You can tell she's a woman, even after she puts on the jacket, and she's not doing it to look like a man. So the Bach would say that's permitted, because all three conditions are met. No one is being tricked into thinking she's a man. She's not doing it for an immoral purpose. And she's not doing it to look like a man. She's doing it for a different reason entirely. So that would be acceptable according to the Bach. And that seems to be accepted. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It seems to be accepted. Both the Shach and Taz bring this Bach, that those sorts of things would be okay. And that's where we come in with the situation of dyeing one's hair to look younger in order to keep a job or in order not to lose a job. See, over there, dyeing one's hair to look younger, it doesn't make a person look like a woman. He still looks like a man. Everybody can tell he's a man. He's not doing it for an immoral purpose, and he's not doing it to look like a woman. That's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he has to look younger in order to keep his job. So that, the Bach would say, is permitted because all the conditions are being met. There is one point which when Rabbi Grossman wrote the case, he made sure to put it in over there, which is you have to make sure a different issue called onah, which is you're not allowed to trick your employer into thinking that you have more energy than you really do by making yourself look younger. That is a dine mamonis. That's a monetary issue. That you can't trick an employer if you're out of energy because of your age and you want to look like a 25-year-old who's full of energy, so that's tricking him. That's not fair for a different reason. That has nothing to do with the issue of dressing up like a woman. But the here, dying one's hair to look younger to keep a job would be acceptable according to the Bach because everybody can tell you're a man, everybody, you're not doing it to look like a woman, and it's not for an immoral purpose. So that would be the Bach. That's the Bach's opinion. But according to the Bach, dressing up like a woman on Purim, or a woman dressing up like a man on Purim, or in a play, one of the girls in a play who's trying to portray a man, that would still be prohibited, according to the Bach. Because even though you can tell she's a woman, and even though she's not doing it for an immoral purpose, but she is doing it to look like a man. That's why she's doing it. She's doing it to look like a man. When you dress up on Purim like a woman, even if all you do is put on a woman's, you know, like a shefel or something like that, you put on just one garment. Everybody can tell you're a man. Nobody's tricked into thinking you're a woman. But you're doing it to look like a woman. That's why you're doing it. So according to the Bach, that would be prohibited, which is why, and you may have gotten that far in the packet, that's why they cite the Bach as a reason not to dress like the other gender on Purim. That's the middle ground. The Rambam for sure would say that's prohibited, but even the Bach would say that's prohibited. Finally, the most lenient opinion, which is the one that everybody relies on for these, for costumes and plays and like that, is the Mari Mintz. And the Mari Mintz holds that he's exactly like the Bach, that as long as you are not doing it for an immoral purpose, and everybody could tell you're a man, it would be okay, but he drops the last caveat. He does not require that you're not doing it to look like a woman. He holds, even if you're doing it to look like a woman, but everybody can tell you're a man, and you're not doing it for an immoral purpose, it would still be okay. So that's where the permissibility comes on Purim to put on a garment that looks like a woman. Because even though you are trying to look like a woman, but it's not for an immoral purpose, and everybody knows you're a man. And therefore, he would say that is okay. And that's also where the heter comes for a play, for one of the girls to dress up like a man and play the part of a man in a play, it would be the same thing. Because even though she is trying to look like a man, but she's not tricking anybody, nobody thinks that she's really a man, number one. And number two, it's not for an immoral purpose. It's not a to'eva. So therefore, according to the Mari Mintz, that would be okay. Those are your three opinions, and then all the cases fit into one of these opinions.
Does it matter that the audience in that case is...
So my daughters asked me that question. That what if they really... I asked them, since I've never been to one of these plays, I asked them how realistic do these girls look when they dress up like a man. So my wife is saying it depends how close you get. You know, that's also, if you're all the way in the back, you could be mistaken. But if you're close up, she said you could tell. But the other thing is, they all said, like, everybody knows they're all girls. There's no question in anybody's mind. That's probably a mitigating factor. I don't know for sure, but it probably is a mitigating factor, the fact that everybody knows in these plays it's an all-girls play, just someone's pretending to be a man. That probably helps. But but here we are relying on the Maariv. So I just want to point out to you that the same reason why the girls can dress up like a man in a play would permit dressing up like a woman on Purim. A man dressing up like a woman on Purim. Again, it shouldn't be that it's to the point that you really are tricking people. I remember once in yeshiva, we were dancing the night of Purim, and a woman came into the middle of the circle. She looked absolutely like a woman. And she came right over to me. And she goes, "Hi." And it was one of the Bakrim. It was so realistic. I couldn't believe how realistic it looked. So that already it's very difficult to permit such a thing. Because you're really tricking people. And that's not so pasha to permit. But as long as it's clear that the person is really the correct gender, and it's not being done for toeva, it's not being done for an immoral purpose, then you have the marimins to rely on. Now, just bear in mind, the Mishnah Berurah says, and others say, that it's better not to rely on that opinion, it's best not to, but we do have that opinion to rely on when necessary.
So where does the leniency come from?
Where does
the leniency come from?
Of this marimins?
Yeah.
How does he understand the Gemara?
Yeah.
Well, he takes like Rashi says in Chumash, and like the first opinion in the Tanakhama and the Gemara, he takes like Rav Yochanan and the Gemara, that it's only if it's Latoeva. Only if it's, right, that's what he says. It's only if it's going to be for an immoral purpose, or it's tricking people, which is almost inherently going to be an immoral thing.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the three opinions. If somebody has a question, please make yourself known, because I won't necessarily notice. But there's one other thing that has to be considered, maybe two other things if we have time, that has to be considered when deciding the final halacha in this whole discussion. One other thing that has to be considered is what's considered to be exclusively for one gender and not for the other gender. See, if there's something that is really done by both genders, then it no longer falls under the category of this discussion. And things can change over time culturally. For example, I think the most obvious change in culture is wearing pants, women wearing pants. There's no question that 100 years ago, even less than that, it would be considered a problem of lo silbash for a woman to wear pants would be an isser at least drabana, maybe from the Torah, because she's wearing a man's garment. But that's obviously changed. That the whole world, almost the whole world, women do wear pants. Now it's true that we frown upon it, and we frown upon it from a tznius perspective, from a modesty perspective, but it's different than this perspective. And that makes a big difference. If it's from a tznius perspective, if it's a modesty perspective, then there's no issue when she's around women, there's no issue when she's alone in a house, there's no issue if she's wearing a skirt over the pants. All those things are permitted because the pants themselves are not a problem because it's both genders. If it's just a tznius issue. If it's a gender issue, well, then it becomes much more complicated when a woman can or cannot wear pants. So then you have to get this whole discussion with the three opinions and figure it out. So it's very important to know what crosses gender lines. An obvious question on that is, how did it change? Meaning that the first few women who started wearing pants were crossing gender lines, right? They were doing something that is clearly a man's clothing. So who crossed that line? Not religious people. Religious people wouldn't do that because we follow the Torah. So who crossed that line? The answer is everybody else did. So when everybody else does cross that line, it can still culturally change and make it into a both gender garment. That can still be true, even though we wouldn't do it for other reasons. You can ask the question, what about a man wearing earrings? Up until not so long ago, no man ever wore an earring. It was only women who wore earrings. It's become, piercings and all that have become much more common. So what about a man wearing earrings? Now, you know, of course, from yesterday's parsha, that a man doesn't want to wear an earring. Because it's a sign of slavery, right? You don't want to do that. But if you get past that point, you understand there's no such thing as a nirtza, as a 50-year slave for a woman, only a man. There's no such thing. The piercing of the ear is only a man to become a slave for more than 6 years. But it's a sign of slavery. That's what it is. But still, one can ask in that case whether it is falls under the category of our discussion this morning or not. Because the question is, does it become both gender activity or not? You have a question over there.
My question is, at what age do you consider a female child a woman?
You want to know what age do you consider a female child a woman? For what? How is that relevant to this discussion? To dress her as, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It is a difference of opinion on that, but everybody would agree it wouldn't be relevant until she begins to look like a woman. Meaning that when they're younger, the two genders look almost the same. It would have to be when she matures to the point where she looks like a woman or she looks like a young woman. That's where the discussion would begin, and then different discussion, different opinions about what age to start at. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you please clarify or explain at the bottom of page 4?
Yeah. Rabbi Eliezer, that paragraph?
Weapons of war. Yeah, that whole paragraph right there.
Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says?
Yeah, I think he wants to know mainly about
weapons of war.
Oh, the weapons. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that is a... that gets into activities that are exclusively for a man or for a woman. And in time of the Gemara, we have an episode in the Navi itself with Yael in the story of Devorah, where a woman handling a weapon was considered to be a man's exclusive activity, and therefore it would be considered crossing a line to do something that is exclusively for the other gender. Similar to the case over here of a man looking in a mirror, which in their day also was exclusively done by women and not done by men. Obviously, looking in a mirror has changed today. Today, both genders look in mirrors, and therefore that would not be an exclusive activity for a woman, and therefore not prohibited for a man. And one could make an argument today that when it comes to a weapon like a gun, then it would no longer be exclusively a man's activity, and therefore it would not be crossing a line for a woman to carry a gun. That is, if you can come up with an activity that is exclusively done by one gender, it would also fall under this discussion. It's not only clothing that falls under the heading of what we're talking about this morning.
What about with Devorah?
What you mean with Yael?
Devorah.
Devorah didn't use an.
But she was leading the army.
Yeah, but she didn't use it. So it has to be. When we talk about an activity, we're talking about either wearing something or handling something or doing something. Walking in front of a bunch of people is not. That's a good question. I don't know where that percentage is. You're right. It has to be something like that. There's got to be some threshold. I don't know where that threshold is. Yeah, yeah. It's also going to be cultural. It's going to be cultural. If you live in a place where they wear kilts, then obviously that's a man's clothing too, right? So it's going to be environmental, cultural. It's not going to be a one rule fits all for every single environment, every single community.
And it's not exclusive to a person's job, obviously.
Meaning
like a man would be considered the person, let's say, that wears a liner, is how it, you know, or something that is almost always going to be a guy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because you mean you don't have any women minors?
Probably pretty rare, but
yeah, yeah.
They do.
Yeah. It could be. It could be if you have something which is, you say, a football uniform. If you have something which is exclusively right. Yeah, it could be. It could be that would fall under the same thing because that's obviously a man's garment.
Scrubs in an operating room.
Yeah, women wear scrubs. Wear women in operating rooms.
Women wear pants.
I know, but they're asking about different uniforms that of jobs that are exclusively done by men.
What about Israelis? Does that happen?
Right. No. Why just Israelis? America too. Yeah.
Go back to Rambam for a minute, and when it says in the Torah that it's a toy to put on a cleat of some sort of
yeah.
Of the opposite
yeah.
sex,
yeah.
In the house alone,
yeah.
By oneself,
yeah.
It's not for the sake of that leads to an abomination,
right.
For whatever reason, this woman or this man is putting on the opposite sex clothes.
Right.
It's only Hashem there.
Right.
Is it also?
According to the Rambam, it would be.
Okay.
Yeah. According to the Rambam, it would be.
According to the second opinion, also?
According to the second opinion, if he's not doing it to look like the, according to the Bach, if he's not doing it to look like the other gender, it would be permitted. If it's not done,
I don't understand how the Bach gets there when the Torah is very clear. It's a toeva.
Right, right. Well, the question is like this: the when it says toeva, is that saying no matter how you do it, it's a toeva, or is it saying it has to be a toeva in order for it to be yasser?
The Torah doesn't indicate anywhere.
Right.
Well, it doesn't say that homosexuality.
Right. Right. That's why the Gemara discusses it. Right. But you're right. That is the crux of the matter over there. Okay, we don't want to go over time. We did a minute or two. Thank you very, very much. And again, thank you to all of the sponsors and to the young ones.